live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, Emmy-nominated composer, arranger, orchestrator, and conductor, Philip Giffen.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Trishes. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I had such a great time getting to know our guest and performance guest today. And during my conversation with the great Philip Giffen, I thought of something I hadn't thought of in a long time. One of my favorite movies of all time, especially since I studied opera and I did Mozart, actually. I sang his music. So one of my favorite movies from 1984, Amadeus. And I remembered a line, one of my favorite lines of movies of all time. And so here is Mozart in the movie, and he's written this music, and Salieri, who's supposed to be his contemporary and his nemesis, sees this music and starts to hear it in his head as it plays, as he's looking at the notes, and he says of this music, "Displace one note and there would be diminishment. Displace one phrase and the structure would fall." That's how perfect the music was and the orchestration. He goes on to say the clarinet comes in here and then the bassoons, and as they all come in, it just works. And I thought about this in conjunction with my conversation with Philip Giffen, because he's so wise. And in our conversation, he brought in life. He brought in living. He brought in relationships. He brought in so many elements. It wasn't just the music. And that says to me that he's orchestrating his life as he's seeing something play out. He's adding something else, he's experiencing something. It's all part of the orchestration. Probably what led Mark to title the episode of our show, Orchestrating a Wonderful Life.
Not only what led to the title of the show, but definitely what inspired the invitation for him to join us, because I have had the opportunity of learning from him and experiencing his wizardry in community at the Malibu Composers Breakfast. And the opportunity to watch him not only orchestrate the guests and the music and then add other elements of his input and insights just gave me a deeper insight into who he was before I even knew about his illustrious background.
He's multidimensional for sure. And actually, what a great combination with our performance guest, who is multidisciplinary. And we'll talk about that a little later on when we have Trish's on. But in the moment, we've got the great Philip Giffen. He's Emmy-nominated composer, arranger, orchestrator, conductor for film, TV, albums, concert, tours and live shows, and so much more. Welcome, Philip Giffen, to the Life Changes Show.
Oh, thank you both for inviting me. I really appreciate it, and it's an honor to be here. And Mark, what you notice about me kind of in my unofficial role at the Composer's Breakfast Club makes me think there's a man that really understands the craft of orchestrating, because it's kind of to be unnoticed, really. Just to kind of like fill in a little here, a little there, be kind of a supporting element. And in a similar way, I like to produce records that way as well. You know, I like to just be like, I view myself like a photographer, just snapping pictures of the subject And it's not about me, it's about them. And, you know, when I have to, I'll, you know, brush some hair out of their face or have them change their pose or something like that. But really my job is to make them look good. And in this case with records is to sound good. So you're an intuitive person as well, Mark. So
thank you, Phil. And no good model was ever constructed without glue.
There you go. I am glue for sure.
Well, and so what inspired what I shared in the monologue is that so many times we look at our life as I'm this, or this just happened today, my life has been going this way up until now, and we don't see the bigger picture. We don't put it together. And so as I was listening to you today, I'm thinking that's the work of an orchestrator, is to say, this is what's happening, especially with film, right? This is what's happening in the movie. Then the music needs to be this. It needs to balance it somehow. And so we'll look at the movie and say, but the music, but the background, but the visual, but all of it plays out. And we don't always look at it that way. So how did you start to, because orchestrating is very specific, it's a lot, it's not just the singer, it's not just the person playing their instrument, it's you have to have an ear and an eye and be able to look out and know and see and all kinds of things all at once. So how did you know you could juggle like that?
Well, I love your questions. Like I said earlier, it's obvious you're a musician. But for those who aren't musicians, let me just, if I may, explain a little about what an orchestrator is and what an orchestrator does.
Great.
So, and I'm going to oversimplify it a little bit. But so imagine if you're composing for a movie, and let's say your instrument happens to be piano, and let's say that's how you like to compose, on piano. So, and you have so much music to write that you have just enough time to write it on piano and then hand it to your orchestrator. So the orchestrator then looks at the piano, as we call it, a sketch, or, you know, it's a cue. A single piece of music in a movie is called a cue, C-U-E. And so, and once again, I'm oversimplifying, but an orchestrator will look at the melody and say, okay, I'll give this to clarinet. And this left-hand figure that my boss, the composer, is playing, I'm going to give that to French horns. And then, and so on. And you assign those pitches to the voices in the orchestra. Now, quite often, composers are very specific, like, I want this melody on violins or whatever. I want it on tuba. It can be anything. So they'll have notes in their sketch. And so that's the definition, the rough definition of an orchestrator. And Filippo, your question was, how did I get into it?
Yes. So you oversimplified because then the orchestrator also has to deal with not only the composer saying, I heard something different, or an ego thing, like, you made it sound better than I had in mind. And then
you strive for. And, you know, honestly, excuse the interruption, but most of the time, the relationship between the composer and the orchestrator is such that it's not their first job together, generally. Mm. So that's usually the kind of feedback you want to get, that the composer, he might say under his breath, you made that sound so much better.
Nice.
I thought. Or nice. Some composers, like my dear friend Rich Gibbs, who Mark knows, he'll say it in front of the orchestra because he's very secure in that way.
Nice.
But before you get to that level, there are way too many humiliating experiences where you miss the mark. It's like, oh man, I didn't. And when you and when the composer's up there making all kinds of changes in front of the orchestra, you know, like, whoops, I suck. And so you
learning times.
Yeah. You know, look, let's face it. I wish it weren't true, but we all learn more from those things that smart, those, you know, those emotional injuries than you do from the big successes. Mm-hmm. We prefer the latter, of course, but, you know, it's like the mistakes are what really drives the lesson home. That's what helps you not forget it. But the way I got into orchestrating originally is I'm a film composer, and in college I was very much into large ensembles. And there was like about a 20-piece rock ensemble with strings and horns and guitars and keyboards and stuff like that, that I wrote for a lot. Wow. And I went to Berklee College of Music, and that's a place where there's just so much jazz. But I really felt a little more comfortable, more in the rock vein. So this was an ensemble that said, hey, if you're a rock person, feel free to write for this ensemble. So I wrote for them a lot, and they gave me a great platform. Mm. And so I learned orchestration basically through, of course, you learn from professors and whatnot in school, but you learn from your own compositions and trying things like, that didn't sound as cool as I thought. Mm. And or that came out better than I thought. But one tip that I'll give you guys that understand music, and your listeners, even that don't understand music, might get this. And normally, I don't just hand these secrets out because then so many people will be so much better than me.
Right.
No, but here's something. When people ask me, aspiring composers say, because by the way, that's how you get work too. You become a good orchestrator, and then you orchestrate for a composer that's got way bigger gigs than you currently have. And then they start, saying, they might say, can you take my theme and adapt it for that scene? And so you're doing some writing under their supervision. I never use the term ghostwriter, because if you're a ghostwriter and then you're advertising that you're a ghostwriter, you're not really doing your job. Because if you're truly doing some ghostwriting, that means the guy that you're working, and I'll say with, he doesn't want anyone to know. And a lot of times that's for a very good reason. And you keep it's between you forevermore. But there are other people, like I've worked with composers who are upfront with the producers hiring them, and they say, there's no way one guy can do all this. And so they'll bring me in and introduce me, and here's Philip Giffen. He's going to be orchestrating, but he's also going to be writing some of this, because I can't do it all. So back to the tip, the $1,500 tip. Here's a great way to learn about orchestrating. Instead of going back to that piano reduction, as we call it, so it would be, just piano music, instead of taking that and trying to orchestrate it, which that's a good exercise too, you do this. You do the complete reverse engineering. You can get scores from the library or online of anything. Some of these Mozart pieces you were talking about are Beethoven. So it's a full score, right? Mm-hmm. And you're looking at, it's a little daunting, because you're looking at a very tall page with so many sticks and dots. It's like, oh my gosh.
Right.
One at a time, bar by bar, beat by beat, you look at what that note is. And then vertically you check, what is this? What is this? What is this? And you break it down from the orchestral version back to the piano version.
Ooh.
In fact, ooh, probably what maybe Beethoven first composed it that way. And you break it down to that.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's it. That's a little tip that I cannot believe more colleges don't teach that.
Wow. And
you find out like, wow, this thing that's so massive, and you think like, what kind of orchestration is that? And you look at, when you break it back down to a piano reduction, you say, oh my God, look at that's so simple.
Mm.
It's so incredible. But the use of doubling things maybe an octave above and things like that, but the voicing itself is completely simple and something I know and I'm familiar with, so I don't need to feel intimidated by it. But doing that many, many times, and it only makes sense, right? It's like if you want to learn how to get from point A to B, well, check out how you get from point B to A.
Oh.
So it's a path through the woods. And if you can, you know, make it back, you're going to be able to make it forward the same way. So it's really helpful.
Well, thank you. This is very helpful for orchestrators, I'm sure. It's very helpful for life, which is exactly where I was going with this, that you know, when I said displace a note and the structure would diminish. So when we just look at this aspect of our life right now, that it's just one note in the orchestration and a very important note. But what does it add? Where does it lead to? Was it Miles Davis? You're very much into jazz, who says it's not a mistake. When you make a mistake, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's
think
the
so.
Next
if,
note.
If you, you know, if you know you, basically it's this, I think, because there's so many Miles-isms. If you play a wrong note,
right,
if you play it once, it's a mistake. But if you repeat it, it's intentional.
Yeah, and then there was another one that says it's the next note which makes the first note wrong or right, something like that.
Yeah, that's right. That makes more sense.
So if we're having a note right now, when we look at the whole orchestration, there's so much else going on. And like you said, we were talking about life in general, and you mentioned, you know, the love of your guitar from the 1960s, the love of your wife and family, the love of, you know, so there's more than just this going on, right? There's more than this, than just this conversation. There's more than, and that to me is the full orchestration of life. So you're juggling all these things is kind of like what people could do in juggling their life and looking at it as a full score.
I love that. And that's what hit me even when you were quoting the Mozart thing, displace a single note and it diminishes it. And so I'm going to jump back and forth between actual music talk, music
nice.
Scenarios, and back to your life analogies, because
nice.
That's where I live. I think
nice.
I covered
yes.
that earlier today. So when you were talking about there's so much going on in the orchestration, I knew exactly what you meant, but I'm going to compartmentalize, because I tend to compartmentalize in my work. And it's not just me, we all do. There are people that, there are engineers that are famous for recording. And then there are other engineers, they can certainly record, but now this engineer is going to mix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you have a guy behind the console that's recording the thing, and he's so familiar with it, but yet I'm going to get this guy to mix it. Part of the reason for that is that guy behind the console, he's been working on that thing for you, with you for weeks, and hearing it a certain way. There's something to be said about getting a new guy with fresh ears that's going to, like, you know, ignorance is helpful in that regard.
Wow.
So that's what I'm talking about, compartmentalizing.
Wow.
And so when you say there's so much going on in the orchestration, what you might also mean, there are a couple of different stages. There's the composition, and then there's the arrangement, and then there's the orchestration. Because I could just play block chords and a melody. And here's the next chord and a melody. And here's the next chord and a melody. So that's the composition. Now, the arrangement might be, now I'm going to play that melody, but I'm going to arpeggiate the chord. Now the next melody, and I'm going to do this with the left. That's the arrangement. And then the orchestration is, what am I going to, that arpeggiation, what am I going to put that on? Maybe I could split that up in the strings, or maybe give it to harp or whatever. That's the orchestration. So as in life, we, you know, there are things that, and there's also this order. Certain things have to happen before other things can take place. The composition, means we need to begin. You don't begin with the arrangement because, well, where, what are the notes? You know, you don't begin with the orchestration. You begin with the composition. And by the way, we are oversimplifying a lot of things. Sometimes people put up strings and that's how they begin. And, you know, everybody has their own method. So, but I like making analogies towards life.
Yes.
And I believe, and things are connected to other things. And just like we were talking about mistakes that are embarrassing and humiliating, gosh, that happens, I mean, a lot with me. You know, if I'm not a vocalist like you, Filippo, but sometimes I'll be, let's use the example of being on the podium, which, by the way, that's not a job I do every day. And less and less, that's happening less and less now because synth sounds are so good. You can, you can mock up an orchestra so well that a lot of networks and production companies say, no, mock it up. It's a lot cheaper. But let's say I'm on the podium, and it's happened a lot where someone would say, how do you want me to phrase that clarinet line? And it's like, and so I have to go da bu di da 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 da. So I have to sing in front of, like, you know, 80 people. I can, you know, it's like, and I suck. It's like a frog croaking. But certain times, I'm telling you, and I say to people coming into my studio, look, there are going to be times where we're embarrassed. But nobody ever, when you said, oh, I died of embarrassment, no one literally ever died.
So, okay. You know what? I have gotten so engrossed in this conversation, I totally missed our commercial break. So I'm going to have to ask you, we're going to stop right there. We're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to talk more with Philip Giffen when we come back. Of course, you can learn more about Philip at Philip Giffen, G-I-F-F-I-N, and that's Philip with one L, .com, philipgiffen.com. We have so much information on our webpage for Philip Giffen at lifechangesshow.com. And a little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then we're going to be joined by Trish's, all on the Life Changes Show Online Edition when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All five beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on the Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. Speaking of conversations that matter, I am so enjoying this conversation with Philip Giffen. Now, you heard me say that he's an Emmy-nominated composer, arranger, orchestrator, conductor for film, TV, albums, concerts, tours, and live shows. He's worked with so many people and has, just the movies alone, I'm sure you've heard, Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2, Lethal Weapon 1, Lethal Weapon 2, on and on and on and on and on and on. And the list of people that he's worked with. So here's somebody that's giving us tips and advice and talking about life after having been here in this industry for so long. And it's an industry where there's so much happening that, Phil, wouldn't you say you experience more of life sometimes in a day with the so many things that's going on than a lot of people do maybe in a year, not to put them down, but you get a slice of life like nobody else.
At times. Yeah. At times. I know what you're saying. It's kind of cool to actually, you know, from the beginning of the day, and this happens sometimes, to the end of the day, you've jumped out of maybe in and out of maybe three or four different projects or right. Including that might be an artist I'm producing and a score I'm writing and those kind of things. It's pretty cool. I actually try to organize my life so that that doesn't happen too much. My wife is excellent at multitasking. I think I'm less good at.
Wow. Really?
Well, yes. I look at something. I look at it like a pile of bricks I need to get from here to there, and I'm going to look at one brick at a time, and I'm going to get that done. In fact, I'm not one of those kind of people that can be doing something. I know guys that can be orchestrating and having a conversation about their, you know, what they scored in golf. You know, I don't want to do that because I find that's when I make mistakes. And so I just, that's not me. That just means you're, you know, more gifted.
Speaking of mistakes, so I found the Miles Davis quote. It's not the note you play that's the wrong note. It's the note you play afterwards that makes it right or wrong. So where we were going with that in the conversation, at least I was thinking that, so in these moments, there are people struggling in these moments, whether it's financial or if there's somebody going through a relationship breakup. Like I, as a life coach, I know of so many stories of the world out there, and usually when there's that note that's wrong, that's all we're focused on.
Yeah.
But as an orchestrator, I'm thinking you helped me expand my thinking. It's like, well, there are a lot more things going on right now than just this. If we take everything else, like what are the violins doing? What is the, you know, what is the harp doing? What is the timpani doing? So all of a sudden it's like, this may be part of something beautiful that we don't know because we're not looking at the bigger picture.
Well, I love your Miles Davis reference when it comes to mistakes. Mm-hmm. So let's look at, you do something that you think is a mistake in life, just like this would be Herbie Hancock was Miles's piano player, one of them. And so Miles might have told that to Herbie, but I'm not sure. But think of that. Oh, first of all, Buddhists, you know what they consider mistakes?
No.
I was thinking you, of all people, could probably guess. Gifts.
Gifts.
It's a gift. G-I-F-T. Gift.
Is a mistake.
A mistake is a gift.
Oh, yes. Love it.
And so I know, even, you know, when I'm in the studio, it's like, oh, whoops. But if I take and I play something like, yikes, and it makes me almost recoil. It's like, whoa, that, you know. I always take a second, like, wait a second, and think of the Miles Davis thing. Like, ooh, that, what if I did this right after that? And then from there, that leads to this, which leads to that. And it's like, oh my gosh, now all of a sudden, that thing that I have had to train myself not to recoil from mistakes, quotation marks, now it's my favorite part of the piece.
Nice. Phil, I don't know that we can move on with the conversation because I'm stuck thinking about all the gifts I've had in my
life. Well, you know what they say about a gift horse. Don't look a gift horse.
So many gifts.
No, you're just a regular Santa Claus, Mark.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, this is so... I think of all that. I don't think you're thinking of it the way that I'm thinking of it when it comes to all the different things that you, maybe you shouldn't think of it this way. Cause then maybe it's like, oh my gosh, well, it's daunting.
Help me understand. I thought you were kind of referencing a mistake.
No. I mean, when I think of you orchestrating, it's one thing orchestrating for something, but then when you're orchestrating for a movie, then you got to think of the audience and what's the audience going to feel. Then you got to think of, you know, the actor and what's the actor saying in this point. You have to listen to the words. You have to listen to, you know, what's the scene that they shot? How does this fit in? And like you were saying while we were talking, you know, you're waiting for, okay, actually, if you give that, we're running out of time, but if you give the example of the breath, like the actor using his breath voice.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to make something pretty clear because you're right in that all those details have to be carefully considered. And that really is the composer. That's not left to the orchestrator. Some of it is, but not certainly the majority of it. I mean, a composer that's experienced and hopefully that's someone that you're working with. If a piece of music is composed well, it's all going to fall into place.
Nice.
As opposed to trying to fix something via the arrangement or the orchestration. That gets a little tricky. But what I was speaking about earlier today was, you know, when we speak, we have natural pauses in our speech, right? Like I'm doing now. And so when I'm composing, what I try to do is I actually analyze the dialogue and I figure out where those, even though they're tiny, I figure out where those tiny spaces are. Mm-hmm. And that's when I change the note. In other words, I don't mind, I'll sustain a note through a sentence, but when they take a breath, that's when I change to the next note. Because what happens is, I had someone say to me once, they gave me a really great compliment, just how my music was working in the dub. And the dub is when they mix it. And that's because I really thread the needle, as they say. And that's dialogue. And really, you know, when someone is talking a lot, you know, I'm not going to have French horns. And it, and people think, people make the mistake of saying, well, can't you just turn it down? Well, yeah, you can, but then it doesn't, that's not organic. What you really want is, if the actors were in the same room as the orchestra is, that if they're speaking to each other, they'll be able to hear each other in that room. And it's all about air pressure, pushing air. So if you have, you know, 6 or 12 French horns blaring, that's actually pushing a lot of air, just the way it is when you're screaming at someone, or when there's a car brakes screeching, or a bomb, or, you know, gunshots and all that. That pushes a lot. These are sound waves. And so that pushes a lot of air. But when someone's, you know, whispering like this, that's when you want to, you know, have maybe strings playing a harmonic, which Trish does a lot of that. She'll explain what that is. But that's when you barely pull the bow over the string, and it just plays this, the most beautiful wispy sound, and generally not with vibrato, and it's just kind of, but that, I mean, that's just one example.
Where my mind went to in our conversation, and it feels like we just started the conversation, and unfortunately we're going to have to bring it to a close, but everything you're saying, especially here at the end, is sometimes we try and force fit situations, or try and make people come together, or make people do things, or want people to do something that they're not, and that's like all of this dissonance that would happen. Like, it wouldn't work in the movie, it wouldn't work in the orchestration, it wouldn't work. But so similar to our lives, we gotta look for those breath moments. We gotta let things work with each other, and sometimes, if an accident happens, a mistake, that to say, well, wait a minute, how am I feeling with this? Where can we go from this? You have so, there's a book here. We'll have to talk. We'll have to talk. I just thank you for inspiring so much that there's just so much more to life that we can orchestrate. As Mark would say, orchestrating a wonderful life. Thank you so much, Phil Griffin.
Really, the pleasure's been mine. I'm so grateful to have met you. And this has been equally as inspiring to me. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that. Philip Giffin, Philip with one L, Philip Giffin, GIFFIN.com. But go to lifechangesshow.com and look up Philip Giffin and find so much of his information there, including the long, long, long list of amazing credits. Phil, what a pleasure.
Oh, bless all of you. Thank you so much. Respect and gratitude.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Alice from New Jersey, and I'm grateful for your love and support through the years, and I really need some help now. I've been trying to make some sense of what is going on in today's world. Years ago, you suggested that I practice more discernment before making important decisions. I try to figure out what I believe and what I need to discard, and often end up more confused. It doesn't seem to matter how hard I try to discern truth, as I am ending up even more confused. Please advise.
My dear Alice, I noticed that you have used the words try and trying quite often in your question. So let's first take a look at the words you have chosen to support you, as our thoughts and our words help co-create our reality. When we say, I am trying to do this, we are saying we are attempting to do something. However, when we choose to say, I easily discern the best steps to take, this brings us more power and can lead us to better choices. I also regularly thank the universe for supporting me in discerning quickly, and this assists me in getting clearer and more comfortable with my choices. I urge you to see yourself doing your absolute best to discern truth from fiction instead of trying to do so. And if you choose to do your best instead of just trying, I believe you will see a great and positive difference in the choices you make.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please don't try, but actually write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Nice. And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Trisha's, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our performance guest is a multidisciplinary artist. She is Trisha's. Welcome, Trisha's, to the Life Changes Show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you. And you were introduced to us by Philip Giffen, so thank you to Phil for introducing you. And I could see why he also gets excited about you and your music, as we have. Let's start with the name, actually, Trisha's. I was fascinated when I learned about that. Tell me.
So I created Trisha's in my early 20s when I was sort of felt like I had conflicting selves, conflicting wants, conflicting thoughts. And I created Trisha's to be able to express the different selves within myself as sort of a way to bring them into a real time and space. So Trisha's is essentially the constructs of myself, and I represented in sort of a Freudian framework, more as sort of a mythology. So Trisha's is the id and the ego and the superego, and they all converse musically.
It sounds like actually everything starts with music with you.
I think I'm a really concept-driven person. Music is the first form of expression that I really was able to utilize, but I think the concept sort of comes first for me. Although like I love just like performing and singing in terms of purpose, I think the concept comes first.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll talk some more, but let's dig into a song. So tell us about the concept of this song we're going to hear first.
So Big Sunglasses is off of my debut album, The Id. And every song on The Id, I thought of the concept first. So with Big Sunglasses, I knew I wanted to think about the idea of anonymity because I think it's a really good indicator of self. And we've had different forms of anonymity throughout human history. One of the oldest forms of anonymity is war paint and face masks. And so that's like why you would wear war paint. It gave you like a different sense of self to go into a battle.
Wow.
And then, you know, we jump to now and we have so much anonymity on the internet, which is why people say things on the internet that they would never say to someone's face in real life. So I think when we are able to gain some sense of anonymity, it tells us a lot about what our actual value system is, as opposed to what we want our value system to be perceived as. So Big Sunglasses is about that idea of anonymity. I read this 2010 study that was talking about how when people are wearing sunglasses, they are less likely to be generous with unhoused people that they see when they're walking past them.
Wow.
So there's something about, being able to sort of hide part of your identity, being able to cut off that eye contact. So, so it's inspired by that study. It's inspired by the Milgram experiment, which was the Milgram shock experiment that I'm sure a lot of people have heard of.
Unfortunately, probably not as many people as we would like. This is when it was just the groupthink thing, when some they were actually shocking somebody to the point of death because they were kind of forced into it because people were looking at him.
So like, there were expecting three, it. There were three, like an A, a B, and a C characters in this study, and only one of them didn't know what was going on. So the person that was being shocked was an actor, and the scientist telling person B to do the shocking was also an actor. And so the study was just, it was also a study on authority. Basically this scientist would tell a person that, you know, they have to shock this other person and it's for science, and the shock kept increasing in sort of pain, and they wanted to see how far people were willing to take it.
Unfortunately, they took it so far that if it were actually shocking the person would have died, right?
Right.
Crazy. Wow, this is so deep. All in this one song, and there are so how many songs on the album?
It is 11.
Id. Wow. 11
songs, and there's spoken word pieces in it as well.
Wow. Well, we're gonna get to hear right now. Big Sunglasses. This is pre-recorded. Trisha's on the Life Changes Show.
We're advanced, been enhanced, got our morals refinanced, we are evolved, problem solved, got our savage sins absolved. We got white teeth, cause our shiny, keep our floors clean, so they're blinding. We wear big sunglasses, big lipstick. Big sunglasses, big lipstick, like they wore
like fine art. We're smart, throwing insult like a dart. We got big smiles, we got big plans. Watch us get wild, watch how we dance. We wear big sunglasses, pink lipstick like they wore war masks in their travel kit. We got screens like shields and an ability. I got big sunglasses, don't mess with me. Big sunglasses and pink lipstick like they wore war masks in their travel.
Trisha's, find Trisha on social media at Trisha's Music. I'm going to spell that T-R-I-S-H-E-S, Trisha's Music.
I'm so excited to relive, you know, hearing your music, and I was reliving your live performance, and I wish our listeners could be present for, there has to be more than one. There has to be Trisha's, because it's just incredible what you bring live.
Oh, thank you.
Nice. Yes, I got to hear about that performance, and I look forward to hearing you live. And you have had so many different, like, obviously, like what you shared for the song, you know, so much, you research, you study, so and you're also very aware. And part of this awareness, you had the experience of being born in America, and then what, and how did it affect you?
So I was born in America. I was born in Boston when my parents were in college. And we moved back to Trinidad, where my family is from, when I was still a baby. So I grew up there, and I moved back to the U.S. when I was 9. And I think it just gave me a really interesting perspective on the social and racial hierarchies of the U.S. And so I think my career has always been at this cross section of art and activism, and in trying to affect change in that sort of cultural and subconscious way.
Sounds like you are affecting change. I'm just listening to you. There you go. So I can't wait to hear what instant gratification is about, because I think it's that's our culture, isn't it? Is it about our culture?
So the id is the name of the album is the id, and then I had an EP before that was ego. So ego is the conscious self, and then the id is this primal self, and the primal self, its drives are these really basic needs, and instant gratification is sort of the id's anthem. It's just kind of chaotic, but it's like also minimalist in a lot of ways. It's harmonically incredibly simple. It is really, the backbone of it is really just rhythmic, But then there's just weird, there's some weird melodic stuff. There's some interesting scales and stuff happening. So yeah, instant gratification is just like getting into the mind of the id character, going into her little dark lair where she's just throwing a tantrum, essentially.
Before we listen to it, so yeah, I've heard the song and I heard the intricacies that you're talking about. Are you the one that's arranging that as well? Like saying, I want this, I want that? How do you hear it when you, because we talked about composition and orchestration all throughout the whole show. Now I'm curious.
So I usually come up with my live arrangement, and then when we go to record the song, we'll record sort of my live version, and then we elaborate and manipulate that. So I usually work with a producer and sort of have a co-producing role. But the arrangement is usually based off of the live arrangement.
Okay, well, here, we'll get to hear a pre-recorded version of Instant Gratification by Trisha's on the Life Changes Show online.
Give it all to me. Give me your whole life. Say me your favorite. Say it, but don't lie. Push it off and pull me down. I want that. I want what I want and I want it now. I want what I want and I want it now. I want what I want and I want it now. Give me that sugar. Give me it so sweet. I'll get a toothache in all of my teeth. Keep me waiting long. I don't care about the consequences. Judge the expenses. Push it off and pull me down. I want that instant gratification. I want what I want and I want it now. I want what I want and I want it now. I want what I want and I want it now. Instant gratification.
Trisha's. Wow, Trisha's music. Find her on all the socials at Trisha's, Trishes, Trisha's music. And then actually her website also is Trisha's.com, Trishes, Tricious, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a pleasure. And I feel like we're going to be hearing a lot more of you and from you. And so glad we connected. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your music with us tonight.
Of course.
Our pleasure. And so with a big thank you to Tricious and a big thank you to Philip Giffen, I want to remind you all on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark LeJure. I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.